of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Good preaching space, Jesus speaking, and they're all crowding around him. And so he makes a decision. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him, Simon, to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Well, these guys have been out all night. They're on the side of this lake doing their job. And this man named Jesus shows up, who they know, and he's teaching. And the crowds are so big and they're pushing him so much that Jesus turns and looks and says, well, there's a boat. I'll get into that. Now, as we know, when you go across water a little bit, the acoustics on water are amazing. So it's a very God science moment, really, that he gets in the boat to give himself some space, but also that his voice will be carried to the crowd. And we know that Peter's in the boat with him. Now, what we don't know is what Jesus talked about that day. We all have been not told a lot of what Jesus talked about. Jesus is in the boat preaching. Peter's listening. It's been a rough night, though. Hasn't been easy. They're cleaning their nets for the day. Things are done. They're wrapping up the job. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Oh man, I love Jesus. I love this push to this man. Okay, so if it's like the end of a service, do you guys all just get up and leave right away? No, right? So there's still people milling around doing their thing, checking stuff out, having conversations. Did you hear what Jesus said? This is all happening. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, now I want you to get in your boat, and I want you to take those nets that you've cleaned and said you're done for the day, and I want you to go out in deep water in front of all of these people and let down your nets again. Not a quiet decision to follow Jesus, but what's going to be an incredibly public one, to step out in faith, to fish in the middle of the day in a time that does not make sense, and to go out and see what God will do. It wasn't a small leap of faith. I mean, Peter could have looked at Jesus and said, dude, you're a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? I was up all night. We already tried. Nothing happened. What will they think? I don't want to get up in front of all these people. Look at them. They're all going to watch us do this foolish thing out there. Circumstances that dictated that this was not the right plan to do, that this is not common sense. Your nets are clean and dry. Leave them and go out tonight. The crowd alone and all their noise are going to mean the fish are nowhere near this part of the lake. Common sense, circumstances say this is not a wise decision. Peter had a choice. Believe what Jesus said was truth. Take the risk and go with him. Or say, nah, we'll do it tonight. It's all good, but thanks. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, which is a really fast change, because now they got to get the nets into the boats and get out there. So they're out fishing where everybody can see them. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This incredible step of faith that God shows up in. So much so that Peter and his partner, which we think was probably Andrew, are in this boat together. They're trying to get the fish in. They can't. They have to call in people to help. Now, again, that was a choice. They didn't have to. They could have fished for themselves. And when the boat was full, gone back to the shore and been done. No, they called other people to be part of this harvest, to help us do this, until both boats were overflowing. So full that they're beginning to sink. Inviting other people to be a part of seeing what God was doing. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Peter recognizes in that moment that he is Lord, that he is God. And like almost every encounter with angelic being or God in the Old Testament, as soon as it happens, our first response is, "Go away from me. I am a sinful person." I am reading through the book of the Bible in 90 days right now, which is super fast. But I can't tell you how many times that interaction comes up. And when people realize it's God they're talking to, their first response is, "Go away, I am a sinful person." A holy God that met a sinful man, and he knew it. He fell at Jesus' feet, and he worshiped. An unbelievable circumstance that spoke to a man's heart. And Jesus' response to Simon said, "Don't be afraid. I know I'm God, you know you're man, but it's okay. We're going to do life together. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. It's kind of like if God told you, "Here's $1,000 in your bank account, put it in this investment." And then through a miracle, the investment grows to thousands of dollars, and Jesus says, "Good, leave it, let's go." Common sense says you stay, you deal with the catch, and the profit of the catch, set up your family, whatever it is, and then go. But no, Jesus says, "Let's go." And they go. From now on, you will fish for people. You may have everything you think you need right now. You may have the catch of a lifetime right now. But I'm telling you, there are bigger things for you to do. Come, follow me. Come, be in the classroom of life with me. Really, not a classroom, but more like an apprenticeship, where you're learning and living and doing life together in such a way that you understand not only the mental part of it, but what it looks like to live that out. Over and over and over again, hearing the words of Jesus and then putting that into practice. I think that's one of the things my husband loves about our company, is the chance to be an apprenticeship, because it's not just teaching them skills, but it's teaching them life. And because he sees his ministry, it's so much more than just life, but life with God. That ongoing, day-by-day classroom of life. Which, by the way, doesn't require any particular background, right? Like, Peter and his friends were fishermen. They weren't the scholarly of the scholarly. They weren't the people that knew everything about the word that Jesus took from where they were and put them into ministry. They were everyday people doing life in the way that they were, and Jesus called them out of that into this apprenticeship with him. No matter where they came from or what they do, if Jesus called you, he equipped you to get the job done. It's interesting about his calling. As I was thinking about the two big takeaways from the story, the first one is Peter's calling. You know, Peter had seen his mother-in-law be healed. That happened in his own house. Peter had seen other miracles. Peter listened to Jesus' teaching in the boat. But what got him when he saw Jesus is this moment. This part of the story. How often is that like that for us? In our calling, in hearing what God has for us, it's unique to us and to our story. That's not even something that'll make sense necessarily to somebody else. But we'll know that we've encountered the Holy God. One of the greatest opportunities I get in the job that I have is walking alongside people in their journey. And I gotta tell you, I'm absolutely blown away at all the different circumstances God uses in someone's life. And I also have to tell you how many times I thought someone was so far from God and had a moment that I just was like, well, that means nothing. And that's what made sense. That's what connected to them. Because a holy God is also a personal God who knows our story, knows our circumstances, and knows what's going to grab us. It's also why when we pray about a program like Alpha, and God puts a name on our heart and mind, we don't reject it. Because that's ridiculous, Lord. I already asked them twice and they said no. Why would I do that with them? That's crazy. They're so far away from God. That person is so new age, there's no way that would ever happen. And yet, that's not our job. Our job is to be obedient to what God calls us to. So if a name comes into our mind, we need to be praying for that person, because who knows what God's doing in the background of their story? It may not be someone in their life getting healed that catches their attention. It may not be other miracles that they see. It may be a circumstance that says, this is God. This is Him moving. Calling is unique to each one of us. But I also think, looking at his story, how often we need to listen when Jesus calls us to do something that is not common sense. Common sense was he never got in the boat and went out there and let the nets down to begin with. Common sense is when they get back with a catch that they don't walk away from it all and leave it sitting on the beach. Common sense often wants us to do something that's logical and right, but God is calling us to something different and to move into that direction. This is important for Peter's story. As we fast forward in his story, common sense says that Peter stays in the boat when Jesus is walking on water. And yet when Jesus says, come, he gets out of the boat. He doesn't do it perfectly, but he got out of the boat. Common sense is that when he's on the mountain, the transfiguration happens, that he freaks out and panics instead of saying, let's build shelters. We got this. Common sense makes a huge, huge difference in Acts. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the community in Jerusalem and he preaches, this fisherman preaches, moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Common sense says that it's a Jewish religion only. Jesus came for the Jews. That was cultural. That was normal. This is where it will stay. And yet when the word of God went to Samaria, and Peter heard about it, and John, they went down there, and when they saw that Jesus Christ was being believed there, they prayed, and the Holy Spirit of God came upon Samaria. Yeah, but they're half Jews at least. Common sense says that in this story, this should not have happened. Peter told them, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or associate with you. Peter had been at home up on a rooftop, someone's house on a rooftop, and this sheet had come down from heaven, and on the sheet was all this food that no Jew in their right mind would ever eat. And God said, get up, kill and eat. And Peter said, not happening. Three times this happened, again and again, and God reminded him that what I decide is clean is clean. These men show up at his door. They take him to a Gentile home, which means everybody that's not a Jew. For most of us in this room, that is us. And Peter walks in, and the first thing he says to them is, hey, I shouldn't be here. Let's be honest. This is not a thing. You know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Common sense says I should not be in your home and I should not be doing this, but God spoke and I came without an objection. And as he speaks the word of God and the story of Jesus Christ to this whole family that has been there gathered together, this happens. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. And then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they've received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Circumstances that would have dictated that a Jew would never enter a Gentile home, and yet God called him. God called him to do something that was not what circumstances would say. It was not Jewish common sense to do this. And yet because of Peter doing this, we know that Jesus Christ is for all mankind. That what Jesus said when he was being ascended into heaven was go into all the earth. It went into all the earth because this man was obedient to what God called him to that didn't make sense. So I guess the challenge is this morning. When God calls us, do we say, okay, Lord, because you say so? God, I've been praying about this situation so much, and he says, but go this way. And okay, Lord, because you say so. Because it isn't about the circumstances. It's about the Lord. Now, the part of our story about Seattle that I didn't tell you about, we did come home. I moved my family of three, I was very pregnant with the fourth, into my parents' basement. We had two bedrooms to live in with three children and a baby coming. And my husband went to work the first day of his work. He came home and he said to me, we should never have moved here. good times. I gotta tell you, that wasn't a good feeling. But going back to the God said so we did. And the interesting thing is, 6 months later, the housing market in Seattle fell out. Nobody was building anything anywhere. And a year later, after we moved back, we went back down there to visit friends and what we considered family. And we went to a tool store because they had different tools down there that Chris had started to prefer than in Canada. And the price was way better. We went in there to buy tools, and the people in the store literally came up to Chris and said, where are you building? And Chris said, oh, about 500 miles north of Vancouver in British Columbia. Oh, well, that makes sense, because literally we have not sold a single tool here in 6 months. Circumstances would have said, here's $100,000, run with it. But God spoke so clearly that we moved, and we've never regretted it, except for that day. It was great, actually. Because of that day, he started his own company. So, you know, things are good. I don't know. As I was processing Peter's story, I think that's our big takeaway. When God's calling you to step out into something, step out, because he shows up. It isn't a mistake. And maybe other people around you don't understand, because literally none of our church family understood that. But it didn't matter. We were obedient to what God called us to, and that changed everything. It always does, doesn't it? When we surrender our lives to Jesus, amazingly enough, he always changes everything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you call us to do things that we're not always comfortable with, that we don't know how to process sometimes, that don't make any logical sense, and yet you call us. Lord, in those places when we're terrified, when we feel the fear, would you remind us that your words to Peter were, "Fear not."